Hey, hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
Food contributes a third of the world's greenhouse gases.
What happens on your plate is how we change the atmosphere.
What can I do with my food choices?
This week on Day to Day, we're looking at the environmental impact of food. From farm to table, our meals and snacks can leave a large carbon footprint.
One food service company is trying to reduce that, and in honor of Earth Day today, the Bon Appetit Management Company is launching a low-carb diet. This is a company that runs cafeterias at colleges and for corporations. As Day to Day's Alex Cohen reports, the carb in this diet is carbon emissions.
It's lunchtime at the headquarters of the online auction company eBay. At first glance, the Silicon Valley lunchroom looks like any run-of-the-mill cafeteria. Sandwich bar over here, hot daily special over there, pizza station in the middle. But head chef Bob Clark points out these are not your run-of-the-mill pepperoni pies.
We've got a fresh fruit pizza, dried Bing cherries and peaches, caramelized fennel.
There's a reason why these pizzas are covered with local produce instead of mozzarella. It's all part of the low-carbon diet that's being launched at 400 cafes and cafeterias run by Bon Appetit. Helene York likes to call herself the architect of this diet, which looks at the entire life cycle of each food item. Take cheese, York says. Most cheeses come from animals that eat feed, which is a carbon-intensive product.
The cow eats the feed. The milk is processed and transported in refrigerated trucks. If it comes from a long distance, it's put on an airplane.
Airplanes emit a lot of CO2. And then there's the end of cheese's life cycle. Leftovers wind up in a landfill where they release methane, a greenhouse gas which York says is 23 times more potent than carbon dioxide. That's why, York says, Bon Appetit chefs have been told to reduce their cheese and beef purchases, and that's just the first step.
They are required to eliminate bottled waters from overseas. They are required to reduce food waste. They are required to do energy and water audits to reduce the carbon emissions associated with cooking the food.
Bon Appetit officially unveils their diet today, but chefs have been putting its principles into practice for the past year. For chefs like eBay's Bob Clark, that's meant making some changes and using food creatively. For instance, to avoid sending leftover fruit to the landfill, he freezes it for later use.
You need to plan ahead. You need to think like a squirrel.
There are benefits of the low-carbon diet that go beyond the environmental ones, Clark says. With food costs on the rise, cutting back on beef, dairy, and processed foods can reduce costs. And he adds, low-carbon items from local farmers tend to make the best meals.
As a chef, you're always trying to get the freshest ingredients. And the more times people handle it, store it, move it, it really loses its flavor.
Chefs might be on board with the low-carbon diet, but Bon Appetit will have to convince its diners, too. The company runs lunchrooms at museums, corporations, and campuses like Mills College in Oakland, California.
You want anything? Yes, please.
Melissa McDonough is a junior here and says she's noticed a lot of changes since Bon Appetit took over their cafeteria, not all of them good.
There's a lot of placards telling you to eat green and be environmental, but the taste and freshness of the food seems lackluster.
The steamed vegetables, she says, tasted more like gym socks, and once she got a salad that was frozen solid. Helene York, designer of the low-carbon diet, takes these comments in stride and recognizes there are kinks to work out throughout the program. They're still figuring out ways to turn food waste into compost on-site. And then there's that pesky problem of rice.
Rice is traditionally grown with animal manure spread over paddies, flooded with water, and it's the water that causes the methane from the manure to be released into the atmosphere.
But York says they have made progress so far. Their goal for this year was to reduce meat purchases by 10%. So far, they've cut back by nearly 20%. And she says you can't do that unless you offer tastier alternatives to the average burger. Alex Cohen, NPR News.
Tomorrow, our food footprint series continues. We'll find out how corn inspired a New York filmmaker to open his own grocery store.